Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Talk on 93.7 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. Sylvester Stallone is back in the original hit series Tulsa King. This season, Dwight faces his most dangerous adversaries yet, forcing him to fight for everything he has built and to protect his empire. Watch the new season of Tulsa King, now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Donnie Football in for Joe on this Football Friday. Joe back in Buffalo this weekend. Austin Bechtold, our guy City Limits, is behind the glass. We go out yet again to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Austin, it looks like we lost our guy on the fan hotline.
We did. I'll give him a call back. Bob has had something going on at the house, or maybe he had to take care of something, so I'll give him a call.
Okay, so Bob Walk is set to join us here momentarily. Pirates broadcaster, current Pirates broadcaster, former Pirates pitcher, set to join us here in moments. His final visit of 2025 as the Pirates get set to finish up their regular season with a series in Atlanta. The Pirates taking 2 out of 3 against the Cincinnati Reds this week, a team that is vying for a playoff spot. They don't get a chance to play spoiler here, as the Braves are also well out of things in the National League, in the National League East. The Braves started their season 0-7. They started off way behind the eight ball, and they were never really able to catch up to it at any point. That start to the season really did spoil things. So I think they're a good example of how sometimes in baseball, coaches and managers will downplay, you know, some of those early games. Hey, don't worry about it. We have 162. The Braves had a very small time in the middle of the season where they actually got back near a point of being competitive in 2025. But that bad start is what really put them behind things in the National League East. They end up not being close to a playoff spot here in 2025, and that's a team with a lot of talent on it. So now we do have Bob Walk. He is good to go. Bob joining us as we get set for the final series of the Pirates regular season, Bob. And I was just saying how the Braves, they were a team that started off 0-7, 0-8. They had a very bad start to the season, Bob. And a lot of times we will hear managers say, and, you know, they'll try to downplay some of those early games. Hey, we have 162. It's only one game. Let's not worry about it. But they were never able to catch back up to themselves, and their season was pretty much lost in the first couple of weeks of the season. So even though, yeah, they play 162 of these things, the early games can really catch up to teams. And we know that the Pirates dropped a couple of games early in the season that didn't really matter for them down the stretch, but a team like the Braves with high expectations, it hurt them, and they weren't able to get back on the right track. And we saw the Pirates do that too in Miami way back when to start the season. But, I mean, I just think there should be more importance in some of those early games than what we get told about.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you a lot on that, especially if it's a team not so much like the Braves, but a team like us that is trying to make a move. Yeah, the early games are very important. I think that, well, speaking of the Braves, I'll go to the 82 team. 81 team was not a good team whatsoever, you know, looking at the what our record was, but we still had a lot of good players. Well, they made a manager's change, and you know, we came into the 82 year, you know, everybody talking about, okay, we got to get off to a good start. We're much better than we were last year, blah, 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 blah. And sure enough, they got off to a really good start. And then they kind of played .500 the rest of the year, but it was enough to win the Western Division that year. So, yeah, if you're a younger team that hasn't been very good and you believe in yourself and you're trying to make a move, yeah, early in the year, you definitely have to, you know, come out swinging. Now, that's not imperative. There are, you know, you can find some examples where, you know, teams haven't done that. But most of those examples is probably going to be, you know, your older, more veteran teams. So I think, we're, you know, talking about us, we're in a position, you know, looking toward next year, you know, we want to get off to a good start. And that's no guarantee, because we've done that in the past, too, where we've had, you know, really good April. And then at the end of the season, not look so good. I mean, we've done that very recently. So it's important to get off to a good start if you're going to win as a young team. But then there also has to be some follow through. You just can't, you know, fall apart toward the end of the season, which we've done in the past.
Yeah, I mean, in the Pirates' case, the first month and a half of the season was pretty much what did them in. They were 12-26 when the string finally got pulled on Derek Shelton. But by then, Bob, the season felt lost. Like they were just
if you look back the prior couple of years, you could reverse that record in the first, you know, 6 weeks of the season, and you know we end up, you know, not doing all that well when it came down to, you know, the last couple of months of the season. So that's what I mean. There has to be some kind of follow through. But I agree with you, with a young team that's trying to make a move for the first time and do something, then yeah, the start is very important. Because young guys, if they dig themselves a hole, you know, then guys start worrying about their own jobs, and they're worried about, you know, are they going to be able to make a career for themselves? And, you know, they start looking over their shoulders and that sort of thing. And that makes it very difficult for older, established veteran guys who have, you know, been through a bunch of seasons can say, okay, it's a long year, it's a marathon, and we can, you know, we can still do something here, even though we got off to a bad start. But yeah, young team next year, I want to see us, you know, come out really early and have that good month of April. And, you know, it picks up, you get a little confidence also with some of these younger guys that, okay, yeah, we did make a difference. We're playing better. We're scoring more runs this year. And the confidence will go up, and hopefully that'll, you know, pay off throughout the summer.
Bob, the Pirates, they played a little bit of spoiler earlier this week. The series against the Reds, a team that is fighting for a postseason berth, the Pirates took 2 out of 3 against them. When you were a player and you knew that you weren't going to be on a team that made the playoffs in the last week or so of the regular season, did it feel any better if you got a chance to spoil somebody else's season and certainly a division rival?
To be honest with you, no, it didn't really make that big of a difference. You know, I can remember, you know, maybe not wanting them to clinch, you know, and jump around out on the field. You know, it was a much bigger celebration in those days, because there's only, you know, two teams out of the National League made the playoffs. So if somebody was clinching, it was a big deal and a big celebration. And that was almost like they're smearing it in your face, even though they're not. But as far as, you know, playing spoiler, the only difference is that, you know, teams will play a little different in the last week of the season if they're battling, you know, if they're a game out and they're going into those last three games. I mean, they're playing it like it's already the playoffs. You know, they're nothing is held back. Everybody's going. Doesn't matter if somebody in the bullpen's already pitched 2 days in a row. If they need them, they're pitching 3, maybe even 4. Stuff you don't do in the regular season. That's what you have to deal with when you're playing the teams that are, in a real close race at that point. That, you know, they're trying everything they can to win ball games, and that, you know, it makes it a little bit different for the team that's playing them. It's like almost like a little taste of kind of what it's like to be in that situation and what you have to do to come through.
If the Reds end up making the playoffs by the end of this weekend, I think it will be very difficult to not go back to that catch made on what looked like a Brian Reynolds home run yesterday, Bob, and circle that as like the moment that maybe got them over the top. I mean, that's one of the better catches given the circumstances of their season that I have seen in a very long time, that catch by Marte in right field.
Well, I agree. I mean, that's kind of the way it is when you're in that type situation. Every single thing is you know, you look at and pick it apart and think, wow, what a play at that time of the game. And like, how about the play the Pirates pulled off, throwing out Hayes at the plate? I mean, that, you know, little things like that are way bigger this time of year than if that would have happened back on June 10th. You know, it's going, oh, yeah, good play. But now everything is really magnified, and that's a great play. That might keep us in the playoff hunt. That might get us out. You know, it really gets talked about. And that's the fun part about being in a pennant race this time of year.
Talking to former Pirates pitcher, current Pirates broadcaster, Bob Walk here on 93.7 The Fan. You can join the conversation via the Fan text line at 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bob, only five games for this guy, but Rafael Flores, who was the big prospect they got back for David Bednar in the trade with the Yankees at the deadline. Your early thoughts on his play?
I like what I see. I don't know what he's going to be like defensively. I think that's kind of a wait and see thing. I try not to, you know, put too much into like scouting reports and things. I've learned that over the years. I can come up with a lot of guys' names that were, this guy was supposed to be this, and he turned out to not be. I mean, think Davis was so bad at being a catcher, they put him in the right field. And we know what he can do as a catcher defensively now. So I don't worry about that too much. I like his swing. We're looking for some offense. So I think anybody that's got a chance to provide us with some run production, I'm all for, you know, giving them a long look and every chance that you can. And I think that's really why they got him, is because they like the bat and they think it's got a potential to be a nice RBI bat. So I agree with him.
What is Henry Davis's future on this team other than being Paul Skenes' personal catcher?
Yeah, I don't know. We need offense, and I don't know the reason why he hasn't provided it. He hit extremely well, obviously, in the amateur leagues. He hit extremely well in the minor leagues, and he's tried to change his approach up here. His initial approach was to pull, and try to hit home runs, and that wasn't going to work. He needed to be able to use the whole field and cut down his swing. Well, he definitely has cut down his swing, but the results still aren't there. So I don't know what the answer is, but with us, you know, looking for offense, can you afford to have, a catcher that plays a ton have the numbers that he has, which, you know, aren't good. Anybody can look them up if you want. Mm-hmm. They're not very good. And I don't know if we can afford that. I don't think we can afford that. So you're going to have to find somebody to be more of a, you know, your everyday catcher, to be more of a offensive contributor, or he's going to have to figure out what's wrong and get to where he can hit like he hit when he was coming through the minor leagues, which, you know, I'm sure he's been trying to for the last couple of years, and they can't get it figured out. There's a team of guys that work with the hitters now. You know, you have analysts and all kinds of stuff going on, and video guys, and nobody's been able to come up with the reason why he can't seem to hit. But there's got to be some reason, because he's done it before, so you like to think it's in there, and you hate to give up on him and then have him go somewhere else, and now he's a 250, 260 hitting catcher with 12 home runs a year. You know, that's kind of hard to find guys like that, and you would hate him to turn out to be like that for somebody else. But, I mean, he's running out of time, I think, to show that here.
Bob, are you out in Atlanta, or do you have the final series of the season off?
No, I don't go on the road. So they finish on the road. My last game was the last home game. So I'm just here at the house. All those noises you could see or hear before was that having trouble with my truck today. The guy was picking my truck up with the tow truck the same time you guys were calling me. So there was a little problem with that. But yeah, just dealing with regular everyday stuff right now. And, looking forward to breakfast on Sunday morning.
Bob Walk, former Pirates pitcher.
Breakfast in Ireland.
Oh, yeah. You checking out? You excited to check out that game?
Oh, yeah. We got a big little breakfast watch going, so it's going to be fun. It's going to be a little different to have people over. Actually, I'm going somewhere. That's one of my kids' house, and we're going to have breakfast and watch the ball game. Watch the football game. Gonna be fun.
There you go. Bob Walk, current Pirates broadcaster. Bob, thanks for hopping on with us.
Hi, no problem. Anytime, and it's been really a lot of fun and a pleasure. And I'm just hoping we do a little bit better next year and can have better things to talk about.
Absolutely. 100% agree. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, bye-bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
50-minute mark on the Fan. We are a little bit away from that. That's brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram on Route 19 in Peters Township. What's cooking? That's brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Aw, thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. You hear that music? It is a football Friday. That means it is time for our picks. Our friend Joe is not in, so the picks will be just done by myself and Austin for this football Friday. Week 4 of the NFL season already here. Week 5 of the college football season. Austin, away we go.
Well, Donnie, last week was not good for our friend Joe. He went 1-7
The
picks. Do you know the one game that he got right?
Was it a college or pro?
Pro. Yeah.
Did he pick the Browns or he picked the Lions, didn't he, on Monday Night Football?
No, I picked the Lions, though.
Okay. Did he pick the Browns to beat the Packers?
He picked your Pittsburgh Steelers to win in New England.
Did. He did, yes.
And we did not.
We did not.
Donnie, you went 4-4.
Okay.
I went 5-3 because, Donnie, I think you and I had the exact same picks every single game, except the Monday Night game. I had the Lions beating the Ravens. So that currently puts us tied at a glorious 13-17 record. Joe is at 10-20.
Oh, man.
So he is struggling after that week.
10-20 KDKA, that's what he's sitting at right
yes,
now.
Yes, he is listening to the high school football coverage tonight. Okay, here we go. Utah is 12.5-point favorites at West Virginia, Donnie. The Utes are coming off of a big loss to Texas Tech. They were ranked. They no longer are now. Who you have?
I am going to go with Utah in this game. West Virginia, a team that pretty much took everything it had out on that backyard brawl game. I do feel pretty good about the prediction that I made preseason. I think I had them at something like 5-7. I think even 4-8 is what I had West Virginia at. And I feel like they are going to be right around that point. They lost the Ohio game. They beat Pitt. Those games I just had opposite on their schedule. But I think Utah is going to go in there and win the game by 2 touchdowns.
I do as well. You know that? Remember that commercial from West Virginia that had them spelling the name of West Virginia incorrectly?
Yes.
Do you remember that commercial? That's basically what I think of the West Virginia offense. They really can't get things done correctly. They can't really get things organized. Who is their quarterback? Is it Nico Marchiol? Like, I don't know. Do they know? So I think Utah, obviously, ultimately, I should say, will win this game. Louisville is 4.5-point favorites at Pitt, Donnie. The Panthers, excuse me, win it at home at Akershire.
I am leaning towards Louisville in this game.
Ooh.
I think that they will drop Pitt to their second loss. So I'm going to take the Cardinals. Pitt will have one or two notable wins by the time the season ends. They have now multiple, I think, 4 ranked teams ahead of them on their schedule.
Yeah.
Florida State, they have the final 3 games of the regular season. You know, in true Pat Narduzzi and Pitt fashion, they're going to find a way to win one of those games.
Right, I agree.
They're going to stun either Florida State, Notre Dame, Miami, Georgia Tech if they keep winning. One of those teams will end up getting upset by Pitt. But I think Louisville goes in there. And you said, I forget, did you say plus 4.5?
Louisville by 4.5, yes. So it's plus 4.5 for Pitt.
Okay, yeah. So Louisville is the favorite in there this weekend. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to take them to win the game and cover. I think they win it by at least a touchdown.
You know, there's always a Pitt everything went wrong type of game once a year, typically. Last year it was SMU. Sometimes you get that at home. I don't think it'll be this game. I think Pitt is going to bounce back from a week off after the West Virginia game, composed, ready to play, and they will pull an upset against Louisville at Akershire. All right, Donnie, here we go. The rubber meets the road. Number 6, Oregon. Number 3, Penn State. Nittany Lions are favored by 3.5. I hate this line. I really wish it was 2.5. At 3.5, man, I think this is a field goal type of game. I really do think it's a field goal type game. I've picked Penn State all 3 weeks to cover. They have not covered once. A dumbass does it again. I will pick Penn State.
The hook is really enticing because I think Penn State is going to win the game. When James Franklin is a favorite, he almost never slips up. Now, he is a favorite here to a team that is number 6 in the entire country. But even if he was the slightest of underdogs or this game was a pick'em, I would be all over Oregon because we know when James Franklin is a dog, he does not win. But he tends to have his teams take care of business when they are favorites. I think Penn State will win this game and they will cover Austin.
Wow.
I am going to take the Nittany Lions and the 3.5-point spread.
And a lot of this is going to come down to Drew Aller. How well does he play? This game for Drew Aller is going to change a lot of perception for people, either in a good way or a bad way. If he balls out, throws 3 touchdowns, whoa, Drew Aller is this big candidate for the draft. If he throws like 2 picks and 1 touchdown, Aller's might not even be top 15, top 20 pick.
Yeah, I mean, that's my biggest holdup with the guy. I mean, I don't doubt, you know, the size. I don't doubt the tools that he is able to bring to the table. However, we have yet to see him in a big game against a big-time opponent play well. And honestly, if they come out of this game and they lose and it's like a 31-28 game or something and Aller looks good,
yeah,
I'm not going to jump down his throat. I mean, if he's a guy that throws for 3 or 4 touchdowns and 250-plus yards, if he does his part, I'm not going to jump all over him. That will be all for James Franklin and, you know, probably the Penn State defense if it reaches that point.
Or turnovers.
Yeah, but if it is one of the games that we've seen him play against Michigan when they were great, Ohio State almost every year, where it's Penn State loses a slog like 13-10 and Aller is 10 of 26 for 78 yards, no touchdowns and a pick, yeah, he's going to get knocked down on the draft boards by people, and deservedly so. He has to have a big game at some point against one of these big dogs in college football.
I might have to take out a loan for how much I paid for the ticket, Donnie, but hopefully it's worth it for your friend Limits. Come about 11:30 Saturday night. All right, to the NFL. Sunday night football, Packers at Cowboys. Green Bay is favored by 6.5. Micah Parsons, welcome back to Jerry World. And the Packers, I think, are going to stomp Dallas, and they will cover.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, too. I think Green Bay minus 6.5 is going to be my pick here. I know they got upset by the Browns last week. The Browns can play defense. If there's anything the Browns have to lean on, it is that their defense is always going to come to play. That will keep games close for them. That's not the case this week with Green Bay. They are going into a place and playing a defense that allows a lot of points and allows pretty much everything. We saw what Caleb Williams did to the Dallas defense last week. Jordan Love had a big game there in the playoffs. I think he can do it again. I think Green Bay can go in there and win this game like a, I don't know, maybe like a 27-17 type score. Like they will have it beyond the 6.5-point spread for most of the game.
Yeah, I think maybe 10 is the number I'm looking at right now. Pretty similar to you on this game. Like, I think ultimately Jordan Love is just the difference. It's the difference in a game like this against Dak, who I think is just a pretty average quarterback despite having really good numbers. Moving on, Lions are hosting the Browns. Detroit is favored by 10.5 in this game, Donnie. I think ultimately that the Lions will win it by 2 touchdowns, but I'm a little bit worried about this because we know, and as you mentioned, the Browns can play defense. I just think that it being in Detroit, in the dome, that fast offense, they're going to get to the Browns.
That does make me waver a little bit on this, but otherwise I am going to take Cleveland getting that big spread because I do think the defense can travel here a little bit. It could slow down Detroit the way we have not seen the Ravens defense couldn't do it. The Bears defense couldn't do it, but that Packers defense did in week one. I think the Browns can do that. Detroit's going to win the game and they could win it by 10 points, but they could not cover. I think it's right around there. I think the Browns can at least stay in this.
3 to go. Monday Night Football. Bengals at the Broncos. Denver favored by 7.5. I have Denver in this game. The Fighting Bo Nix and Sean Payton's will beat Jake Browning.
At some point, that Denver defense is going to remind people that it is one of the better defenses in football. And I don't know if Monday night is the night that Bo Nix breaks out of the shell that he's been in so far in 2025. But since he just played a pretty good defense and look how that went, they're playing another pretty good one on the road again, Monday Night Football. I don't think it will be pretty for the Bengals. They will be 2-2 after a big loss again on Monday Night Football.
Ravens are 2.5-point favorites at the Chiefs, Donnie. How do you feel about this one?
I almost feel like a sucker for thinking the Ravens going into Arrowhead against that coach and that quarterback will win this game and they'll cover a 2.5-point spread. But I just feel the Ravens have an offense that can put up a ton of points. The defense is weak. It is. It is not as good as I thought it would be this season. But I think the Ravens' offense would just simply score too many points. Kansas City's offense at times this year has been kind of a rough watch, oddly enough, with Patrick Mahomes. They do have some aging stars on that offense as well, like Travis Kelce. I know they're getting Xavier Worthy back, but I'm going to take Baltimore to win the game by a field goal or more on Sunday afternoon.
3 out of 4 brutal games for the Chiefs to start the year. I mean, you get the Chargers, you get Philly, now you get the Ravens. I don't think that they're a Super Bowl contender anymore. I'm on record saying that, but I do think they win this game. Okay, Donnie, Vikings-Steelers. Vikings favored by 2.5. How do you feel about it?
This is going to be a fun one. A standalone game, an international game. We will have pregame coverage of this live from Shiloh Platenpour in Mount Washington. And I think the Steelers are going to win this game as a slight underdog in Dublin. I think they will win the game 23-20. They will not let the Minnesota offense shine on them for all 4 quarters on Sunday. Pittsburgh will do enough. Maybe a Chris Boswell field goal will be the winner at Croke Park. But give me Pittsburgh and the points in this game.
Man, I am conflicted on this game. I really am. I've been back and forth thinking the Vikings are going to win. I think there actually is something to the Rooney's going back to Ireland. Plus, everyone's picking the Vikings, which gives me significant pause. Give me the Steelers 24-17, a little bit more of a margin of victory than many would expect.
There we go. Fan weather. That's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Cloudy today, high of 75. The PM team is next. Great job by Austin and everybody who helped join the conversation today. Donnie Football signing off on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.